Everyone, welcome to another edition of ETS Chalk Talk. We're down in Arkansas today with Southside Charter head coach Kenny Simpson. Hey, coach, how are you?
I am good, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we talked a little bit beforehand just about some of the things we're going to discuss today. I'm really excited for some of the things that are on your heart. I know that you've been able to make a really great impact in the high school coaching community. Let's talk about your start. How did you get into coaching high school football?
Well, man, if you could probably see me stand up, you would be like, I don't know if that guy's a football coach, because I was one of those kids that I loved sports and had to work really, really hard to be competitive and be good. And so it's something I've always had in my blood. I've always loved athletics. I've been drawn to it. I want to compete in everything we do. And then around my junior year of college, you know, I was going to be business and was going to make money. But I was going to coach on the side, you know, and I just, why am I doing that? You know, I would rather just make my career what I want to do. And so that kind of pushed me into coaching. You know, and what's funny is my wife and I actually coached track together for a couple of years. And so I think our family in general is a very athletic minded family for sure. And then I love the lessons that you can teach through sports. I think that that's one of the few places left in our society that's pure, as long as we don't mess it up as coaches, where you can teach so many lessons.
I know that we've talked about the lessons that you're teaching to coaches, but before we get there, what are some of the biggest things that you're trying to impress upon young men in your program?
Well, society's changed a lot. Kids have not changed a lot, but the support system has gone the wrong direction a lot of times with a lot of the young men I encounter and young ladies. I coach track as well and teach, you know, and so just this generation has a lot of strengths, but one of the areas that they're looking for and they're craving is they're looking for leaders and mentors and people to push them and people to love them. And I feel that one of the things that we try to do here is we want to make our kids feel safe. Hey, we're going to push you and I'm going to be hard on you, real hard on you. But you don't need to fear failure. You come out here and you give us all you can and we'll take you from there. And I think that's one of the things that this generation, if they feel that you are going to give them that, then they're going to give you, you know, 1,000,000%.
Yeah, that's an interesting balance. We've talked about it a lot within our company, motivating someone through fear or motivating someone through love. And you said that, like, you're able to push them, but then they feel safe. That's a tough balance. How do you balance those two things?
I think if you place every priority on a scoreboard or winning a game, then you either win or you lose. And there it is at the end of the day. But if your emphasis is not that, you know, that's a byproduct of what we're trying to teach you, then you can win all the time. If you can take a young man from whatever grade you get them through their senior year and they're a better person at the end of it, whatever the record was during the time you had them, that was a byproduct of what you did. And so you win all the time when you focus on that. And they don't fear failing on the field because they understand that you still care for them regardless. It's easy to say, you know, it's easy for us to get on here and talk about. It's not easy when things don't go how you wanted them to.
Yeah. Yeah. When there's adverse moments like what we've been going through as a country, it's especially difficult during this season. You've written some books, and I know that it's made an impact on folks. And we were talking about this cruise that you're doing with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And this is different for the coaching community around coaches' wives and marriage. Talk to us about the importance of that very thing, marriage, when you're a football coach. And there's, like, we talked about the pressure of, I was in the office till 9 p.m., you know. How's that work?
Man, it's tough. It's been interesting. You know, I'm very blessed and very fortunate, and I chose well, and it's paid off for me with my spouse because, you know, she is in it 110%. And there are a lot of coaches' wives who are that way. And one of the things that I've seen, though, in my career, and now that I'm getting older, you know, your perspective changes a little bit, is I've seen a lot of coaches neglect that area of their life. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it's one of the things that I'm very passionate about, that we've got some very lonely coaches' wives, who that doesn't need to be that way. I think there's so much power for our football team when they see me with my wife and how I interact with her and how I treat her. And they see it's not always, you know, kisses and hugs. Sometimes kind of prodding me where I need to go, or, but they need to see that, you know. A lot of times kids I coach, they don't see a father, they don't see a marriage. And so they need to see what that's supposed to look like. And I think a lot of times as coaches, we're hesitant to involve our wives. We almost want it to be Coach Simpson and Husband Simpson. And we don't want the worlds to combine because we're different people, and it doesn't be that way.
Yeah. When I was coaching, we would have the kids over on like a Tuesday night, and my wife would, you know, make a meal, or we'd just pick up some pizza because my wife was also working. That's right. And I would, you know, normally give a talk on something important. And yeah, that very thing would take place. Like, here's my marriage, and here's the good, and here's what we're working on. And a similar demographic in that a lot of kids didn't have dads at home. And so it was important to show them that. Talk to us about, you know, your wife's role in your football program.
Yeah, and I'm blessed because she works at the school with me. We made a conscious decision early on that we were going to, you know, eat ramen noodles so she could stay home with our kids for a little bit and be part of it. So we're unique. I know not everybody has that ability, but I want her around as much as possible. You know, so she does pictures for us on the sideline. She's graphic design, and so she does a lot of the stuff for the kids that way. We do have them over, like you mentioned. There's nothing more powerful than having kids into your house and letting them into who you really are. I think that, you know, that to me, it shows kids you do care about them. And so she's, now that we're older, Mama Simpson is kind of what a lot of them will look at her as. Yeah. That's what she does. She mamas them up a little bit, and after I've got on them some, but I want her involved, and then I want our other coaches' wives to feel the same, that they're more than welcome around, and that I prize the time they have with their husband. So we got to work. We work hard, and we get after it, and we're not going to neglect our job. But yeah. I want them to know their kids can be up here if that's what needs to be happen, or if they've got a family event, that takes priority, and we'll work it through text or Zoom or whatever we got to do so that they're home with their wives.
Yeah, Mama Simpson. They called my wife Mrs. Brock because I was a young coach. Miss Cruz, talk to us about Miss Cruz. I've never seen a coach collaborate, maybe it's been done before, with FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, on a cruise for coaches and their wives and focusing on marriages. What's that going to be like?
Well, this will be the third one we've done, and man, they've been awesome. They really have. And I got the idea, I can't remember what clinic I was at. It was several years ago, and watching young coaches at a clinic away from their wives, probably doing some things that their wives have approved of. They're at a clinic, not really learning much football, but having a great time away from their family. And I was like, you know, we're paying a lot of money to come to a clinic, and we're taking time away from our family, and we're doing things that probably we wouldn't be very proud of, you know? And so what can I do to say, let's give you the same experience, let's teach you the game and let you get professional development, at the same time encouraging you being around your family, being around your wife? And so I looked at several venues, and probably the easiest one was a cruise because it was all-inclusive food, childcare. And man, you're on the ocean. I mean, unless you're going to just pay an absurd amount of money, you're not going to have cell service. So you literally have to shut down and be with your wife and be with other like-minded people. Is that? And I brought FCA in because, man, that's not an area I'm an expert. I have a lot of hopes and dreams in that area, but I'm not a counselor. I don't claim to be one. And so I said, can y'all send us some people that can maybe serve in that role? And so there's a wives program on it. It's a pretty cool little deal, and we have a great time, and I think that it's just a way to kind of give your wife back. You know, you're still gaining as a coach, but this is a time maybe we can bring them together.
Yeah, that kind of brings up something you're talking about, getting away from your phone. Golly, that's a tough thing to do, right? I mean, yeah. Especially with what we have going on in 2020. And you have a following that, you know, leads me to believe that you got to be on your phone too, to and you're doing good work on it. But how the heck do you balance encouraging people, responding to people, and being present in the environment you're in?
Not very well. Not very well. Work on, you know, that's one of the reasons I created my own website. Was not because I wanted to, you know, it's something I never thought would happen. But like you mentioned, you know, I get hit up probably in a normal day, 50 to 75 coaches will reach out to me about something. And I want to get back with all of them. I really do. Mm-hmm. I'm limited on time, and I'm limited on, now that the season's starting, I'm really limited on time, and I don't want to neglect my family when I'm at home. So I try to set kind of hours I'm going to work. And then I've set up a lot of materials now that I can kind of point them in that direction and say, mm-hmm. I'm here for you, but go watch these things first. And yep. then that way they can get help. Cause coaches want to help coaches. I want to help coaches. I just yeah. can't help all of them. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. That's smart. You got to make sure that you, and I like how you're doing something proactive to point them to, hey, might not have time for a 30-minute conversation, but here's what you're looking for, and this is going to help you out. Sounds like a good lesson learned. Any other like big lessons along your coaching journey that you feel like stand out? Like, hey, this might be the greatest lesson that I learned during this season of my life.
I'd say when I was a young coach and I got a job at 27, I said all the right things, and I did probably believe that we are here to impact kids. But man, I wanted to win. And that was, yeah. I could say a lot of other things, but that was the number one priority. And and we did win some games early in my career, but when we didn't have a season how I wanted it to go, I mean, it opened my eyes up, man, there's got to be more than this. And then we went through a real rough spell at Southside. I took a job here in Arkansas. It was a complete rebuild. And so I knew there were going to be some tough seasons. But I didn't know 0-10 was in the cards. And then when that happened, you know, it made me reevaluate everything. And so we just completely ignored the scoreboard, focused on becoming better. And the irony was we win more. We don't focus on winning, but we've won more because, mm-hmm. You know, so to me, that was a kind of a changing experience as a coach is we don't even set goals of points or points against. I just get rid of all that stuff. And we just talk about, how can we give the best we can in the moment we're in every single time? And we really harp on growing off the field, growing on the field, and then the score just kind of takes care of itself.
Yeah. Failure shapes and failing. We all do it. We all fall down. And it sounds like you found a different way to get back up other than just focusing on winning, which is, like you said, it's tougher to do than say, but it sounds like you're doing that with your program. What else do you think that sounds like a special aspect of Southside? What else makes your program special?
Man, I think it's a family atmosphere. I mean, I feel like, you know, we're a 4A school. We're getting bigger. I'm about to be 5A probably pretty soon. So we're kind of a big school, but you know, I've really tried to harp on, we want our former athletes to come back mm-hmm. no matter what, you know, we are a family. We've had a young man, I'm actually wearing a wristband for him, that went through an accident. He's graduated from here, and he's in a rough spot right now. And but I've seen the support, because we have a saying here, our principal really came up with it, but he said, once you're part of this school, you're always part of this school. And I think that makes this place unique. We have a locker in our locker room that every former player I've coached has signed. They sign it on senior night, and they leave their mark just to let them kind of know, hey, you're leaving, but you're still representing us, and we're still representing you, and it's always an open door. A couple homecomings ago, we might have had 50 players on the track, former players, and to me, that makes us unique from other places, because most coaches aren't blessed like me where you're at the same place for 9 years. You know, mm-hmm. I've got 9 years worth of former players coming back to me, and that's something that makes us unique, I believe.
Yeah. That came up on another talk recently, just this idea that, you know, a lot of coaches, again, say they care, they know all the right things to say, but one of the biggest, I guess, ways to see if that's true is, like, are you staying in touch with former players? Are they involved in your program? Or are they kind of like, hey, we got what we needed out of you. Good luck in life, you know? And that says a lot that kids are willing to come back. There's some things in a program that are really fun, like teaching life lessons and winning games even. That's still fun, even though we don't want to focus on it. We still like it. Fundraising sucks, and no one likes it that I've met. A few people do, maybe. But we get the unique opportunity as former coaches and players to help programs function. And it's through fundraising, and we feel like it's through the easiest fundraiser ever. Who cares about us? Tell me about, like, what is your experience with fundraising been like? How does it impact your program overall?
Well, I'm a little unique from most coaches. I was a business marketing guy, so I kind of understand how money works. And when I took the job at Southside, and I had some private school where you had to do a lot of fundraising. And so here, it's like the perfect storm. So we've raised about $1.5 million from private sector in the last 8 years for our facilities. And the number one or two goals, I'm sure you're probably the expert on this. I'm just the coach, but it was one, I don't like asking people for money for me, but I have no problem asking people for money for their kids or for our community. And so that's a couple things that we've done. You're right. Fundraising does suck. It's not very fun. But you, as a coach, you need to have a clear vision. You know, you guys, I know, offer a lot of help, but the thing I think the coaches need to do is have a clear vision of where you want to be in 10 years, 5 years, and kind of work your plan to get there. Most people don't think about fundraising until it's August the 1st and they need to buy t-shirts. Well, you're not going to do well fundraising if that's, you're not going to do well in coaching if that's your mindset. And so that's what I would tell a lot of young coaches. There's a lot of ways to fundraise.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can do. A lot of good companies like you guys, to reach out to, but you need to have a plan of where you want to be instead of just saying our facilities are terrible. Well, get off your rear end and do something about it.
Yeah. Interesting. That's cool, man. A million and a half in that amount of time is really impressive. And it sounds like your experience, pre-coaching makes a big, impact in that too. Well, let's have a little bit of fun before we get into some chalk talk, 2-minute drill, where we get to learn a little bit more about you. Rapid fire, first one, here we go. What have you done that I should do?
Man, I've traveled a lot, and I've got to go over to Europe. I've been multiple places, and that's something I don't know if you've already done yet or not, but I think people need to travel to open their eyes a little bit.
Best place you've been to?
Oh. I would say Italy is my favorite.
Yep, I've been there as well, and it stands out right away. It's a special place. Favorite part of a Friday night?
My favorite part is the game. Before the game I don't like a lot. I like the game.
No pregame, just let's get after it. I like all of it and the game, but I like the marching band. I like the smells. I'm kind of a dork that way. What's on your quarantine playlist right now? What song or artist is on repeat?
I feel pretty good because I got a 15-year-old daughter, and when she was playing a little Rage Against the Machine, I felt like, as a dad, I felt like, man, you know what? She learned something from me.
That's awesome. Best meal you've ever had?
Ooh. Probably go back to Italy, man. Any place we went there was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. Best game you've ever been a part of?
For our school at Southside, we made the playoffs a couple of years ago. First time to ever host a playoff game, and we were up 35-0 at the half. So I know it wasn't as far as best game as far as, like, close, but to me, it was kind of like 6 years worth of culminating, and then boom, it finally hit well for us.
Came out and executed and fell into place.
Not many of those happen. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good feeling. You're like, yes, that's what I've been telling you to do. What accomplishment are you most proud of?
Man, I think you mentioned it earlier in this, former players coming back and talking to me. I think that the relationships, watching, I've got former players now that are doctors, principals, and so it's been cool to watch that stuff.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, let's get into some chalk. You can either share your screen or take us through it. But, hey, I've seen a lot of inside zone on these, and I'm like, man, I'm sick of zone. Let's get back to the roots of football.
We're not inside zone. We're going to do a little I think you got to get a share with me to share my screen here. We're going to do a little buck sweep stuff if I can. Okay.
Should be good to go.
Okay. Let me see. There we go. Do a little buck sweep, and I'll try to be relatively brief because some guys may not want to run buck sweep, but the goal for me on this is not just buck. It's if-then answers, which is why we run the offense we run is – you know, we want to run an offense that has built-in answers. So hopefully I can kind of roll kind of quickly through this. But guys that are done, you know, if you don't get what you need, here's my contact info. Reach out, and I'll either direct you somewhere or get with you. But my big deal is always if-then. You know, going into a game knowing if they do this, then we're going to do this. And I want to do it with every single play we have. So anytime we build our offense, and we're very, very simple. Guys have heard me speak. We're three. We have three plays to the strong, three to the quick. And so teams are going to play us in 100 different ways, and we want to know if they do this, we are going to do this. So inside of the buck, there are two ways you can do that. One is fix the play, which is what I'm going to speak about today, go quickly through today. The other would be the wing T aspect where you have a series base where the backfield all looks the same. So you have the counter off the buck, you have waggle off the buck, flood pass, trap, you know, all that stuff comes in. That's an if-then. If they do this, then we do this. We wanted to go one step farther and inside of our play have built-in answers to anything the defense may give us. So if they got a really good play side this, here's what we're going to do. Really good backside, here's what we're going to do. So in buck sweep, here's your main issues you deal with. Play side issues, backside issues, and then penetration in the middle. Those are all different things that you got to have answers for if you're going to run buck, but we have seen. I'm going to kind of skip through the first part of this because it's all about installing buck, and there's a lot of really good dudes about that, and so we'll kind of move quickly through that part. But I wanted to get into this part of it, so the if-thens, all right? So play side issues that you're going to see if you run the buck, here they are. Teams are going to put a really good dude at a nine technique. We played a team a couple of years ago, ended up winning the state championship that year. They had a dude that signed with Arkansas, and that's where they put him, at a nine technique, because I got to block him with a wing. That's tough. So how are we going to answer that? Overloading you with numbers, okay, or having inside linebackers that blitz. Those are kind of your general answers to buck. So here's how we combat that. If the nine technique to the play side. So that's this kid right here. So if you're not a nine technique guy, maybe a spread guy. Nine technique is the guy between the tight end wing. This guy is an upfield player, which means he's trying to shoot upfield and blow up your wing. We run what we call bypass. So normal rules on buck sweep, for those who might not be familiar, you block gap down backer on the play side. Everybody blocks basically the guy inside of them. And if there's nobody inside, they go to linebacker, gap down backer. Okay, so you don't have to be overwhelmed, spread guys. I gave you the code to the wing T offense right there. So we block down, all right? If, like we talked about, this guy's a problem, instead of just blocking him, we're going to go around him because he's trying to come upfield and blow our wing up. Maybe our wing can't handle him. A lot of things will be a problem. So our wing, instead of blocking him, is going to bypass, that's why we call it that, and go to the inside backer, and we're now going to kick him out and run tighter. It should look like this. So our wing won't block him. There goes our wing. He's not going to block that guy. See how he went right by him? The guy shot trying to get penetration, and we slide step, we kind of outside release to get the kid to come upfield, and it should set up a nice little ear hole for this guard. So this kid's trying to blow our wing up. We let him up. Boom, there's our kick, and we run it one gap tighter than we normally would. So that's one answer. If a team wants to put a really good nine technique there, you can run. The other way you can do it, if the nine technique is really good and he's a technique reader, so he's not just trying to blow you up, he's reading your tight end. He's trying to hit your tight end. If your tight end blocks down, you know, then he's going to grab him and he's going to squeeze and do all kinds of stuff, which is good. Okay. So what we'll do now is we will double him. We will fire off with our tight end like we're base blocking to get him to try to get width. So if he's reading our tight end's block and we fire into his chest, okay, he's going to read that instead of a down block, he's going to read it as a different block. And now we're setting it up for our wing to come seal him. Okay. Now, one quick thing on this clip is our tight end should have had his eyes inside. Like he should fire off, but keep his eyes inside. He doesn't do that, but here's it, at least as far as the answers go, you can kind of see. So he'll fire off and then we'll double that kid because that kid was a really good player for them and this caused him to want to fight. And now we got him sealed. Now our tight end, like I mentioned, should have, I'll kind of pause it here. Our tight end should have right here kept his eyes inside to pick this guy up, okay, to pick that guy up. But that's where we're getting movement on that nine technique. So now we can block it normal, we can bypass it, and we can double it. We have three answers for a nine technique depending on the problem. So it's an if-then. If this is happening, then these are our solutions, okay? The other issues you're going to face, run buck sweep, is they outnumber you, or let's say they put an extra guy there, their outside linebacker. So we're going to take care of that a lot of times by formations. We can do several different things in formations. You can flex your tight end. The main one we go to early is we'll put our receiver out. So we have tight end wing and a receiver, like trips. And that forces the defense to roll down a secondary player or loosen up the box. So, for example, six right here was their corner. You can see by his stance, he's more of a tackler than a cover guy. So by putting our receiver out here, we've taken their corner out of the box. And so we just move our guy. We call that flop. And now we can get a blocker on number six who was making a bunch of tackles for him. So if then, if they're outnumbering us at the corner, then we're going to move our formation to kind of lighten the box. Okay. All right. You can even do it this way. So we got tight end, wing, and two splits. And we're a heavy RPO team. I'm going to get into some RPOs here in a minute, but we're a heavy RPO team. So now we can move our RPO to the play side. So now if this kid does not want to leave the box, we'll throw a screen out here and run buck sweep out there. And now we really put him in conflict. And so that's another if then. If we can't get him blocked, then let's throw the screen. Okay? Or if we can't get him blocked, let's use a formation. All right. The other one you'll get is this team. We get a lot of these looks where we're just hurting a team and they put everyone they got on the line of scrimmage or they blitz. We see this often, okay? So now we're going to have what's called a stay call. So our strong guard who normally would pull and kick is going to stay. He's not going to go. He's going to stay in there because the guy he's wanting to block is right there anyway. And so there's no point in wrapping a guard if he's there. So now it will look like almost a long trap. There's our guard. He stayed home. We got a kick. And there we go. And so if they are overloading us or playing a linebacker at about 2 yards like that kid is, we're going to go to this call. So it's if they do this, then we'll do this. So again, problems, nine technique, overload numbers, blitz in the middle. Now we got answers to this stuff. Okay. All right, the next clip I'm going to show is kind of leading into the next part of this, and I'm going to try to go relatively quick, but I want to make sure you get it because this stuff can apply to any play. So if they have us outnumbered, we're going to go to RPOs. We're going to try to hold players with an RPO. So, for instance, a lot of times on the backside, we're going to hold players by running RPOs with our receivers and with our quick tackle with just one-word calls. Now, we've made a play look completely different to a defense, but to everyone on our team, it's the same play. And so I'm going to kind of walk through those. I wanted to show an example of an RPO where we don't pull it. We actually hand it off and what the effect is first, and then we'll look at when we actually pull it. So here's your first one. We're running buck sweep. We're running a bubble and a go route. And our quick tackle, we've given him the tag word to go outside. So now we're going to read this kid right here. So this kid is a problem. We're going to read him. This kid stays home because he's respecting the RPO. Now we don't block him. So those two guys stayed home. No need to block him. Now we're blocking two less guys than we normally. That's the whole premise. If you run RPOs, you've got some inside zone guys on here. That's probably what they talk about. RPO is a way to block a guy without blocking. We're just blending that in with buck sweep. Okay, so now you can kind of see on this, when the ball is snapped, we'll kind of pause it right about here. This guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy, that's five, are playing the RPO, which means we only have to block six instead of having to block eight, okay, by running the RPO. So here's the different ways we run RPOs and why we run them. You run buck sweep, here's your problems. Backside inside linebacker is a problem. He's hard to block. Those guys are good. They can shoot the A-gap and you never see them. So that's a problem. So what are some solutions we're going to have? A backside four, I, or three, which basically means an interior defensive lineman. We're pulling the guard and they may be chasing down the heel line. Those are problems. Or anybody outside, any kind of outside defensive lineman or outside linebacker that's blitzing off the edge. All of those are, you got to have answers for these things. So here's how we do that. Okay, the first thing we do is we want to read the inside linebacker. We can do it two ways. I'm just going to show one today. We call this peak. So we're going to take the slot receiver, and we're going to run him in here. And if this kid goes after buck sweep, we're going to pull the ball out and throw it. We love this one because the linemen are doing the same thing that they always do, nothing different. The running back, same thing he always does, nothing different. The only guy who has to do something different is the quarterback and this receiver. That's it. And the quarterback's world is very easy. He stares at that guy. If that guy squeezes, he throws it. If he sits, we hold it. And so you can kind of see as we roll it here, there's the guy we're reading. He squeezes, we throw it. It's a nice, clean, easy play. And the way we're blocking is nice and easy. So here it is again. He squeezes, we throw the ball. If he sits home, we don't throw the ball. We like this RPO when we feel that this guy right here is really good. And you can kind of see on film, that guy's about 6 foot, 220, and he looks pretty good. So we're going to read him instead of block him. All right. The next one we call read. So anybody outside the tackle on this one we're reading right now would be a five technique. It could be an outside linebacker. It doesn't matter to us. And you guys want to know what they do to buck sweep when you run it a bunch? Look at that. Okay, you want to run buck sweep into that? That's tough. Okay, so we're going to read this kid right here because he's the first guy outside of our tackle. All read does is tells our tackle, block inside no matter what. Don't block outside, we'll read him. So in this case, it's a five technique, could be an outside backer, doesn't matter to us. We're just going to read him like old school outside zone reads a guy. He squeezes, we pull. It's a very clean, easy. We've married this to a fast screen. So that we could actually throw it if we wanted to, but the read told him to read that defensive lineman. So again, we can throw it or we can read that kid. Okay? And that's just one easy tag that's an answer for a guy outside.
I'm liking your quarterback bulldozing that safety to finish the
run. Yeah, and that's adjusting to what you got. I mean, you kind of go back here. Let me see. This quarterback was my quarterback for 2018. I'm not running him up the middle. I mean, that's just not real smart. This is my quarterback for 2019. Well, run the RPO that fits the kid. That's kind of our goal. Same kid, same team. Now we want to read this three technique. He had been coming down the heel line, but we couldn't get him cut. We were trying to cut him and run buck, and he kept squeezing and making plays. So now we're going to read him. So we tag the quick tackle and tell him don't block inside. Block outside, and now we'll read this player. So now by really one-word tags with our quick tackle, we can read that guy, we can read that guy, or we can read that guy, depending on the guy we want to read. So right here, our quick tackle will block out, and we'll read this guy right here. So here he goes. If he squeezes like he does, we pull it, and there we go. There's that big old bulldozer again taking off up the middle. But the premise is now we're running buck, but with a one-word tag, we can read three positions. We can read your inside backer, we can read your outside backer, we can read your interior defensive lineman, and these are just simple, easy calls. And for a quarterback, he just looks at one guy. Okay, it's an easy read for him. And you can see right here, some years we'll triple option this thing. So like right, what I'm talking about with this is, some years we'll allow him to throw that screen late. We didn't this year. This coming up year, I think our kid can. So he can run here, and if this happens, he can throw it late, which makes it even more dangerous. But the idea is simply just building in answers you know, we run buck, you could run all of these same exact RPOs off inside zone, outside zone, power, whatever you wanted to run. You're just building in answers off of what you might have. And I think I've already talked about blitzers, but the other things you can do is you can formation people. So this team we're playing was playing man zero against us. So they were, three, four, man zero. So you start thinking about problems. Well, problems are RPOs are dead because they're in man. Okay. So now how do I get the box lighter, but run the same play I want to run? Well, you do formations. Okay. So now we've got tight end, wing, receiver, receiver, running back. Well, we put our running back here. Well, why did you do that? Well, because what that does is he's in man, he's in man, he's in man, he's in man. Well, now I got five receivers. So who's the other guy? Is this kid right here. They're telling this kid to play man to man on my tight end and fit on buck sweep. That's impossible. Okay, so by formation, we're going to stick him outside and then we're going to run buck sweep. Now, here's what makes it so easy. It's the same kid that always runs buck sweep. All we've done is said, hey, instead of standing by the quarterback, go stand about 8 yards out here and jog and then run buck sweep. Okay. But what we've done to the defense is we've forced them to cover five guys. Okay. Two of whom we never have any intention of throwing the ball to, but we'll take it if you'll go cover him. So here he comes in motion. You can see here's the player. He's got to play tight end. He's not in any position to force on buck sweep. He's lined up outside because they've asked him to cover the tight end, which is impossible to do. So just a couple more if-thens, trying to build some conflict type players. I think I've already talked about blitzers and shooters. And then again, I mentioned the first part of this. You can also run series. We're a very series-based offense, which is very much wing T. So we're going to run the buck, and then we're going to run all of the flavors that look the exact same in the backfield. The goal is simple. We're going to build in answers. So if you want to overload the strong side, then we're going to run the counter. If we're going to overload the outside, we're going to run the trap. If you're going to overload and ignore the tight end, we're going to run waggle. So it's building in answers, you know, to whatever you have. Okay. Get more slide off there.
That's interesting.
Hopefully kind of what you're wanting there.
Yeah, no, that's great. Are you familiar with like the shotgun double tight, double wing offense? You know, yeah, Tim Murphy?
And Tim's a great guy and he's got a good offense. You know, here's what I believe is, you know, when I was spread, I was Tony Franklin, I was Nolan Zone. And then it wasn't going to work for us. And so I went out, I bought Rick Stewart's pistol wing T. He's got a good system. I went and listened to Tim Murphy at the Glazer Clinics. And you know, and then we just kind of came up with our own flavor of everything. But yeah. I'm a huge believer in, as coaches, man, study other systems. You don't have to take everything from them, but study them and learn. Because you mentioned Murphy's got some awesome stuff that helped me tremendously.
Yeah, so – I'm a D-line guy. I love this type of offense. I love trying to defend it too, because like you said, it's like, oh, we got a few plays, but for a high school kid playing defense, you're like, but it happened so quick and they didn't block me all of a sudden. And you know, or they, you know, arc released against me or something. And all of a sudden they can really confuse great players. And I love how, you know, a great response to great players, don't block them. And, we were in the same league as Murphy though. So, we played against that offense for a number of years and, they're just fun games. It's physical. It's, you know, and we were a Tony Franklin team. So it was the physical, you know, grind it out offense against, we were fun. We were throwing it across the yard. And, that's the beauty of football, you know, just a lot of different ways to do it and different styles out there. But when I was looking at your offense, I'm like, yeah, I don't want zone right now. I want to see the buck sweep. That looks like fun. So,
well, that's and the deal is, I mean, I was a big zone guy. I think you can win a lot in front of that. Of course. But you just got to match your offense. And man, when I came to Arkansas from Montgomery, it's a different kind of athlete you're dealing with. And so you got to marry what you got.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we appreciate your time. It's great to see your chalk. That was a really good one, and you do a great job with it. And health and safety to you and your program and your family and all that during this time. Truly, we know everyone's saying it. We hope you're doing well, but truly hope you do, man. And thanks for hopping on.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it, man.